today we're going to be bringing this series we've been on Next Level Faith. We're drawing it to a conclusion here, and man, we have had a great time this summer as the Holy Spirit has been speaking to us on stretching our faith to a higher level. Anybody here say, my faith is going to a higher level? Anybody believe that? Amen. Yes, we believe that. Seen so many, gotten so many messages from you guys over the summer messaging us and telling us this is really stretching your faith. And God is growing your faith level. Last week we talked about power and authority, and this week I want to pick back up on that thought and give you the second part of that message today as we conclude this on power and authority, part two. We said last week, let me remind you, God's authority must be combined with God's power. God's authority must be combined with God's power. When it comes to the authority of God, the authority without God's power is like having a badge without a gun. We've been given the authority, but we also need the power. And having the power without the authority is like having a gun without a badge. And both of those things are wrong. We need the authority and we need the power. And it should be working in both balance in our life, the place where we realize that God's authority, God's power is at work in my life, and He wants both to be there. God has called you, okay? In case you didn't know this, let me be the first one to tell you today. If you're a Christian today, God has got spiritual authority for every believer that He wants us to walk in. And thank God He didn't just deputize you and give you the spiritual authority, but He's also given us the power of the Holy Spirit. He said you shall receive dunamis power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He didn't just give us the authority, but He gave us the power. And so why leave it locked up in the closet? Why leave your spiritual authority badge locked up in the closet? Why leave your spiritual power locked up in the closet? Why not learn to exercise it, use it, and walk in the fullness of everything God has for our life? So we're talking about the combination of walking in spirit and in authority and in power. Authority and in power. Remember, God gave Moses his staff, and He said, Moses, take that staff, throw it down. Moses said, God, who are they going to say sends you? How are they going to believe me? He goes, you tell them I am that I am. He goes, what if they don't believe that? He said, well, throw your rod down. And it turned into a snake. Remember that? He said, pick it back up. It turned back into a staff. And He said, listen, this is what I'm going to give you as a sign of my authority and power. Take your staff with you. And I love that God used the symbol of the staff, because it's what Moses had with him as he's walking, as he's climbing, as he's traveling all along the way in his right or left hand, whatever he was using, that we see that he was reminded that God's authority and God's power is with me constantly. God's authority and God's power is with me as I walk my journey, as I lead out of Egypt and we go to the promised land. God's authority and God's power is with me as I go back and face my greatest fears and come face to face with Pharaoh. God's power and God's authority is with me as I go back and tell the people God is calling us. God's authority, God's power is with me. It's for every believer. Remember, the Old Testament conceals what the New Testament reveals. That God wants us to see. We learn through these stories that God has certain principles and relationships with us. Spiritual authority that He wants you and I to learn to walk in. He wants you and I to realize we've been given that staff as well. It's God's authority and God's power that comes through the Holy Spirit. The authority comes through our relationship with Jesus. And God's power comes through our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Look what John 14:12 says. We read this in close of last week. I want to pick it back up today. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, anyone who believes in me, they will do the same works. What? Jesus said this, that you and I, if we're believers, that we would do the same works that He have done. He goes, you'll do the same works I've done. And He takes it up a notch. It says even greater works because I'm going to the Father. Jesus said we'll do the same things He's done, and we have the power to see even greater works experienced because Jesus says, I'm going back to the Father. Now, remember this, that when sin entered the garden, that we were broken off in our relationship, our spiritual authority with God. But why it's important to realize that Jesus went back to the Father is, when did He go back to the Father? After He died on the cross, after He shed the blood for the remission of all sins, right? He died for the sins of all man on the cross. He went back to the right hand of the Father. That's important because when He went back, He said, Father, I've offered my blood up as a sacrifice. It is finished. Justification has been made, and now all who believe in the power of the blood of Jesus, all who believe in the power of the cross, they have now been entered into a restored relationship with the Father. You should get this. Our relationship with God has been restored because Jesus went back to the Father. He went back there. He shed his blood for you and I. And so when he went back to the Father, he restored our relationship. And the reason why this is important, because get this. A restored relationship means restored authority. Restored relationship means restored authority. We have been restored the authority that God has destined from the garden on, that we would walk in the authority, God-given authority, that we would have dominion over things of the earth and all power. What we bind on earth is bound in heaven. What we loose in heaven is loose in heaven as well. Listen, God does something for us that was called spiritual authority, and we've got to learn to walk in it. It has been restored because Jesus went back to the Father. And you and I have got to realize we've been called to walk in this spiritual authority. I love the story in Mark chapter 9. We'll pick it up in verse 25 here in just a second. But we see this where the young man who is coming, the father's like, Jesus, can you do something for my son? He's controlled by evil spirits. He's throwing him in convulsions. He's throwing himself into the fire. And so his disciples are trying to pray for him, and nothing's happening. It's just showing out. And so finally Jesus steps up, and this is what happens when Jesus begins to take control. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then Jesus cried out, the spirit cried out, and convulsed him greatly, and it came out of him, and he became as one dead. So that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. Look at the second part of this. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we cast it out? I mean, that's a good question if we are called, right? If we're going to see even do the same things he does and even greater things, then why couldn't they operate in that same power? They were not able at that time to cast it out. And Jesus gave him a very specific answer. Let's look at what he says. He says, this kind. Everybody say, this kind. This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. This kind. It's important that we realize that he didn't say all kinds. He said this kind. He didn't say all evil spirits. He said this kind of evil spirit can only come out by prayer and fasting. What is prayer and fasting? Fasting is simply this, that we begin to shun off the things of the world and tune into Jesus. Shun off the things of the world. Say, I've allowed the crowd to schedule me too much. I've got to draw closer to the Lord. I've got to draw closer to God. And so I've got to begin to give some things up. Spend some time talking to the Father. Spend some time communicating to the Father. Spend some time listening to the Father. Listening to the Holy Spirit. Praying. Fasting. Giving up things of the world and centering myself and getting closer to God. He says some power will come. Some things will need this kind of power in your life. But it only comes through you drawing closer to the Lord. Only as you draw closer to God through prayer and fasting will some kinds of spirits be broken. Some spirits you can speak at right away. Those things are going to submit to your authority. Other times you're trying to take command over something, break an addiction, break a stronghold, and you feel like you're just hitting your head against the wall and it's not getting anywhere. He goes, when you experience that, draw close to me and raise up. See, the closer we get to God, the more authority we walk in. The more I surrender my life to the Holy Spirit, the more power I operate in. So sometimes it's going to take, all right, I got to set aside some things in my life. Begin to pray and focus and say, God, I'm needing a different kind of breakthrough. He says this kind only comes through prayer and fasting. As I draw close to God, I operate in more power. See, some demonic spirits have more control than others. And sometimes they're going to go really fast, and sometimes you're going to have to take authority. And when you take authority, sometimes you're like, all right, God, I got to get close to you on this one. This is a really strong spirit. This addiction is getting really strong. I'm not breaking it through. I got to begin to fast and pray and walk in the spiritual authority God has given me to walk in. See, we've got to say, all right, God, I'm ready to walk in this authority. I'm ready to walk in my new level. I love what Ephesians 5:18 says. We were commanded to don't be drunk with wine, but because that will what? That'll ruin your life. That's pretty practical, right? Don't be drunk with wine because that can ruin your life. But instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Everybody say be filled. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when you translate this out, the word be filled here is not a one-time event. We may read it in our modern-day English and say, all right, this is just a one-time thing. I'm being filled with the Holy Spirit. And some of you have had that experience where you're filled with the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you this. God's desire is for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. For us to be constantly being refilled with the Holy Spirit. When you translate this out, it actually means to be constantly filled. To be constantly filled. An act of being constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it was saying. It's saying that we need the Holy Spirit daily in our life. We need to be filling ourselves on a regular basis. We need to be refilling ourselves with the Holy Spirit. It's important that we do that. Why is it important? Because we need the Holy Spirit daily in our life. We surrender our lives as salvation, and we get the authority. And then what happens? When we surrender our lives and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we walk in the power. But it's not a one-time thing. Salvation becomes a one-time thing, but our baptism is not. Our baptism is a constantly filling of the Holy Spirit. My baptism is saying, God, I want to constantly be filled with you. You see, we find this here that the Holy Spirit, one of the symbols in the Bible is the word water. One of the symbols for the Holy Spirit is the water. And we see, and I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about, you know, why is it the Holy Spirit, we need to be filled constantly? And I thought, well, you know, really think about it. We leak, don't we? This is honest. We leak. This has nothing to do with age, so don't look at your spouse and say, he's talking to you, okay? I'm talking about we all leak of the Holy Spirit every day of our life. Think about it. When Jesus was going through the crowd, remember when the woman who had an issue of blood came to Jesus? And she pressed through the crowd. It says when she touched him, he realized that virtue had left him, that his power had left him. He recognized it right away. That's Jesus talking. You know, and there was times Jesus had to get away. He had to get away from the crowds. Why? Because he was giving out of the Holy Spirit, and he had to go replenish himself, both mentally and physically, and retank and refill himself with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because you're giving out. In our daily walk, I don't care how strong you are or how weak you are, we're giving out. The Holy Spirit is coming out of us. We're using the Holy Spirit to fight our battles. We're using the Holy Spirit to do his work. And we're leaking it out every day. We're giving it out. It's going out. And so if you don't replenish, you will become spiritually dehydrated. You will become spiritually dehydrated because you are not allowing the Holy Spirit to fill you up. You're not allowing the Holy Spirit to keep you hydrated. This is something we all realize this, that just as you must hydrate yourself daily, we need to fill ourselves daily with the Holy Spirit. Now, we have any athletes in the room today? Raise your hand if you're an athlete in the room, okay? We got any former athletes in the room? Raise your hand. Okay, that's a lot more of us. Okay. How many are great in our own mind? We're a legend in our own mind. Okay, there we go. All right. I remember that one time I threw that ball over the mountain right there, you know. A lot of those guys in the room, I'll be in that club. Okay, anyway, one of the things that I talk to my kids about, especially those who are playing football, I'm like, listen, you got to learn to hydrate the day before. Because if you wait until you're in the middle of the game, you've waited too long. And so what we see happening right now on Friday nights, those of you who have been going to some of the games on Friday Night Lights, you see a lot of kids that are stopping, falling on the ground because the temperature is still really hot outside and they're not properly hydrated. And so they're falling down. And what's happening is their muscles are cramping up. And their muscles are cramping up. They can't walk. They're having muscle spasms. Muscles are cramping because they didn't take time to properly hydrate. And what the problem is this, is that you can't wait until you're in the middle of a muscle cramp to try to hydrate. You can't wait until you're sick to try to hydrate. It's got to happen the day before. Our bodies are made up of 70% water. And so if we don't take time to hydrate, it's got to happen the day before. And so I'm always reminding my son and my kids, like, listen, you got to hydrate the day before. Drink plenty of water and a little bit of Gatorade. But make sure you're getting hydrated the day before. You can't wait until it's game time to hydrate because you've waited too long. Are you following me here? Okay. We can't wait until we're in the middle of a battle to get spiritually filled. We can't wait until we got spiritual cramps to say, oh, I need a spiritual water. No, we got to learn to daily hydrate ourselves in the Holy Spirit, daily saturate ourselves in the Holy Spirit, daily drink of his cup, daily say, I want the Holy Spirit to fill my life, baptizing me fresh and anew, constantly being filled in the Holy Spirit, constantly filling my mind, constantly filling my heart. Why? Because I'm going to need it. And I can't wait until I'm in the middle of a battle. I've got to be doing that ahead of time. So while I'm in the battle, I have the fortitude, I have the strength, I have the courage to walk through it. Don't wait until you're hurting. No, proper spiritual hydration takes place in advance. That's why we're feeling ourselves now. Well, I don't need it now. Yes, you do. You just don't realize it. Yes, you do. You can't wait until you're in the middle of the run, Don. I saw the other day, I was coming down the street, and I saw Donnie old running the trail, the Frisco Trail. He didn't see me. And he got to the very end. He was grabbing his breath and turning around to take the next leg. I was thinking, if you're waiting until the middle of your run, Don, you've waited too long to hydrate, right? It doesn't do any good. You got to hydrate before you run. It's important that we learn to hydrate. Spiritually, we got to be feeling ourselves. Let me give you four types of power that comes when the Holy Spirit fills us. This is why we need the Holy Spirit to fill us fresh on a regular basis. We need this. Let me give you four types of power that comes with the filling of the Holy Spirit. First of all, you receive a physical power. Number one, you receive a physical power. Look what Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who has raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your what? Mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." Let me tell you this. He says the same Spirit that breathed life back into Jesus is the same Holy Spirit that will breathe life back into us. It happens spiritually, but it also happens physically in our bodies. I will tell you this, that I know that there's good sports drinks out there, good vitamins, and some of you just use a good old plain black coffee. It's okay to get your day jumped and started, to get your energy. But let me tell you, I just triple dog dare you to take time every day to allow the Holy Spirit to renew your mind, to refresh you, to fill you, and see if your physical body does not see a change. I'm telling you, it brings new strength. It brings added clarity and focus to your life. When you allow yourself to be filled with the Holy Spirit daily, it gives you a new energy to walk, a new desire to walk right. It gives you a new spiritual energy as well. This is good. It's good for your physical body. You receive physical strength that God gives to us. He breathes in us when we're being filled with the Spirit. We receive emotional power. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And it lists it for us. That the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are all things that we need emotional power on. Listen, if you're going to deal with difficult people, you better have some emotional power. See, there's an emotional power that allows you, when you're dealing with people who every day in your life, they're not operating with the Holy Spirit. They don't always operate right, do they? And man, you're going to need some supernatural emotional power to deal with these kind of people. So how do I deal in the spirit of love to those who are unlovable? How do I walk in joy when things are not great around me? How do I walk with peace when there's fear around me? How do I walk with patience and kindness? How am I kind to people who are really difficult to be kind to? It comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you can do it. You can't do it on your own. You can't be that good on your own. You can't be that kind. I can be Jesus to these people when I allow the Holy Spirit to fill me. I can respond like Jesus. I can act like Jesus. I can go above and beyond like Jesus. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is filling me. When I allow it to happen daily, it brings an emotional healing to me. One of the other symbols in the Holy Spirit we see in Scripture is the word oil. He anointed the priests with oil. He anointed the servants of God with oil. He anointed the kings with oil. It was symbolic of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God. They would pour out the oil. We see this happening as symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And I was thinking about this. I was thinking about the story of the gladiators and the warriors that they would talk about when they would get them ready to go out into the ring and the battle, that they would take them and they would pour down the oil all over their body. They, from head to toe, they would soak them with oil, rub it in. I mean, these guys were glowing. I mean, they had oil all over the body because when they got in the ring, they didn't want their opponent to be able to grab a hold of them and stick to them. It made it a lot more difficult for them to grab a hold and stick on those guys as they're wrestling and fighting because they were so oiled down that their opponent, their enemy, could not get a hold of them and bring them down. Pretty smart move, huh? Think about it. I mean, yeah, it makes more sense. I mean, can you imagine, Jeff, if you could get your whole team, wrestling team together and oil them down? I mean, you've been winning all the matches. Man, those guys are slippery, getting right out. But see, we have this advantage through the Holy Spirit if we'll just take advantage of it. Every day, I can saturate myself in the oil of the Holy Spirit. I can fill myself with the oil of the Holy Spirit, letting him wipe me down, getting me in. So when the enemy comes to attach itself to me, it can't grab a hold of me because I'm anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit. When difficult people come my way and they say words, those words just bounce off me. They go off me. When negative actions come, they don't hold on to me. Why? Because I'm being anointed and filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you receiving this word this morning? Let's thank God for this oil of his Holy Spirit. Come on now. Let's give God praise for that. This is a big time in the believer, of every believer, that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It brings physical power to us. It brings the emotional power to us. And we need to have it daily. It's amazing to me how godly we can act through difficult times. I mean, it's amazing to me how godly we can act through difficult circumstances when we allow the Holy Spirit to be in control. And the opposite is also true. It's amazing to me how carnal we can act when we don't allow the Holy Spirit to be in control. I've been on both sides, and so have you. And we realize today that I do much better. I represent Christ much better. I do much better when I allow the Holy Spirit to be in control of my life, to be filling me and giving control. The third thing we see is we receive mental power. Mental power. However, John 16:13 says, however, when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will what? He will guide us into all truth. He won't speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. He will guide us. He will reveal to us. He will declare to us the things of the Holy Spirit. He will declare, guide, and let us know what God's will is for our life. And some of us here, we battle with the mental clarity. God, we overthink things. God, what do you want me to do? God, what are you submitting me to do? God, you're calling me to do. God, all these things we come in contact with, if we'll just learn to fill ourselves daily, it says the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into all truth. He will lead us. He will guide us. He will reveal to us. He will bring us and declare to us. We receive clarity of thought. You've heard me tell you many times from this pulpit that the battle is right here in the mind, right? We are to take captive every thought. We're to take captive every thought. Everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of who God is in our life, we are to grab that thing captive. How's that happen? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The more I fill my mind with the Holy Spirit, the more I fill my heart with the Holy Spirit, the more I surrender my life to the Holy Spirit, the more the Holy Spirit is guiding me, is leading me, is speaking to me, and I can hear God's voice. You want to hear God's voice? It's not a hard thing. I promise you, it's really not that hard. It simply comes to learning on a regular basis to surrender my life to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. Holy Spirit, feel me fresh and anew today. You've heard us say it several times here at Destiny. I'll say it again. We get up in the morning and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Let's roll. It's a symbol. Get up. Holy Spirit, let's go. Let's walk together today. Let's go together today. It's going to give me physical, emotional, and mental power. And the last thing it brings me spiritual power as well. Filling myself with the Holy Spirit on a continual basis brings the continual spiritual power in my life. 1 Corinthians 12:7 lists the gifts of the Spirit. It says the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another works of miracles. We've prayed that today, the works of miracles. To another what? Prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another different kinds of tongues. To another interpretations of tongues. These are all gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit, and they're received as we learn to say, fill me, Holy Spirit. Fill me, Holy Spirit, on a regular basis. When I have the need of the gifts of the Spirit, he gives me those gifts that I can operate in. I can operate in a spiritual power that goes beyond earthly wisdom, that goes beyond earthly power. If you walk in a spiritual knowledge, you can walk in a spiritual anointing, you can see miracles, you can prophesy, you can give words of wisdom, you can speak in tongues, you can discern the tongues. I mean, all these things that we're giving, discerning of spirits, you can give words of knowledge. All these things happen when you allow yourself to be filled with the Spirit daily. Not a one-time thing. Are you getting this? It's not a one-time thing. Let me say again, it's not a one-time thing. I am to be constantly filled with the Spirit. As we're talking about Moses' life and the children of Israel, I want you to look at the 10 plagues here. We see that, remember when God told Moses, go, I'm going to give you these signs if they don't obey. And Moses would go and say, listen, God's saying, set my people free, let them go. And Pharaoh's like, forget you, Moses, you're crazy. And so God would do signs, and he did all these. And I have them listed here in chapter 7. through 10, you'll see where God did the plagues. You can go back and read all of them later, but I have them listed here. The Nile turned into blood, frogs everywhere, lice everywhere. Some of you moms, you don't want to get that call right now when school's going back in the middle of the day. You're like, oh, that's a school nurse. Please, God, don't let it be lice. Any moms understand? Okay, I don't. Lice everywhere. Flies were released everywhere. Cattle were dying. The boils broke out in all the Egyptians. Hail came, destroyed property, destroyed crops. And what they didn't destroy, he sent the locusts to devour the crops. Had 3 days of total darkness, and then death to the firstborn. We see all these things happening here. And what I want you to get is that over half of these judgments right here that came to the Egyptians were judgments against their gods. Judgments against their gods. Think about it. I mean, they had made a god out of all these things. The Nile was considered a god in Egypt. They talked to people, the Nile is the god. Worship the river Nile. This is a god. They had a name for it. They called it a name. It was the god of this, and God turned the Nile into blood. They worshiped frogs. Frogs was a big one. They had statues of frogs, and they worshiped frogs. And God said, I'll release all these frogs all across this land. You're going to be so tired of frogs when you're done. You won't eat another frog leg the rest of your life. He released lice and flies. You can imagine flies. It was everywhere. Everywhere. Flies everywhere. You could, going in your ears, in your nose. We had the game the other night, and we were right by the lights. And man, bugs keep flying in my ears. And that's nothing compared to how the flies are swarming on people, swarming on the cattle, swarming in their homes. I mean, everywhere. Flies everywhere. Cattle were dying off. Their cattle were dying off. The boils on the Egyptians. God told Moses and Aaron, he said, listen, go to the fire, grab the ashes out of the fire in front of Pharaoh and throw it up in the air. And when it hits the air, God spread the ashes like a cloud of dust across the land. And all the Egyptians were covered in boils. All their cattle, all their livestock were covered in boils right away. I mean, you think God wasn't sending a message? What is ashes a symbol of? If there's an ash, first there's got to be a fire, right? Ashes are a symbol that the fire was burning. What's another symbol of the Holy Spirit? Fire. It's set up on them like tongues of fire. Remember that? Fire is another symbol of the Holy Spirit. So he's saying something here. Listen, what the Old Testament conceals, the New Testament reveals. We see something happen here. God threw the ashes up in the air, and God's judgment comes across to the enemies. Listen, you get tired of fighting? Let the Holy Spirit empower you. Throw your praise up in the air. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against the things of the air, principalities of the air, the spirit realm. Scripture says we wrestle against the things in the spirit realm. Throw your praise up in the air and say, God, you are in control. God, I'm going to walk in my spiritual authority. Throw that thing up in the air and see if God doesn't deal with the enemies that are attacking you. I'm just telling you, God does it. We're seeing things here. We had the battle of the boils. We had the hail, the locust devouring the crops. 3 days of total darkness. Remember, they had the sun as a big god. Their sun, they worship the sun as a god. And God says, you can worship the sun all you want to, but I'll just turn the light off and show you who really is God. So God turns off a switch. God makes it dark for 3 days straight. They taught that Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a god. And his firstborn son would be the heir to his throne, and he was a god. See, that's pretty harsh. Death of the firstborn, it was harsh. God was bringing judgment. Sin, rebellion, demanded it be paid. And remember, it was Pharaoh who declared against the people of God that their firstborn be killed. And the only thing that saved them was God said, take the lamb's blood, put it over the doorpost. So when the death angel passes, it will pass by your house. How many are thankful that God took his blood to the Father for you and I, that we are covered, and no longer do we receive the judgment, but now we have been given back into spiritual authority in right relationship with the Father. Powerful. Are you seeing what God's revealing to us today? Are you seeing the power and authority in the heart of every believer that God does bring judgment? God does bring judgment to his people. God brings judgment to his land. Things aren't ignored. God was making a statement to the children of Israel, and he was making a statement to the people of Egypt. The same statement. There's only one God. You can make golden calves. You can worship the sun. You can worship Pharaoh. You can worship the Nile. You can worship frogs. But there's only one God, and I'm going to show you who's in control. God was showing them that there was only one God, and he was in control. of the heavens and the earth. He was letting them know that he was the one God and he was in full control on heaven and earth. James 4:8 says this as we draw close. It says, we draw near to God and he will draw near to us. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. James 4:8. See, the children of Israel were protected from the plagues. When they were in their own city, their own region, we see that they were in the valley of the city of Goshen. And what's so cool about this is as long as they were in Goshen, they were protected from the plagues. Forget it up now. But see, the children of Israel lived in Goshen. And when you study out the name Goshen, Goshen means draw near to God. What the Old Testament conceals, the New Testament reveals. You draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The children of Israel withstood the judgment of God. Why? Because they were living in a place called draw to God. I'm telling you, symbolism is there. The revealing is there. God is showing us as we draw close to him, even when he passes out judgment, that if you have your family drawing close to the Lord, that's why you don't walk in the authority of the world. That's why you don't let the world dictate every little thing you do. You walk in God's authority. You walk in God's authority. You draw close to him. And the closer I draw to God, the more I am stay protected under God's covering. The more I'm bringing my family under his authority, the more power I can walk in. God is bringing me there. Listen. So how do we get out from under the dominion of the devil? How do we get out from under dominion? We've been walking in the spiritual authority. We want to get there. So how do we walk out of Egypt? How do we leave the dominion of the enemy and walk into God's authority in our life? Write it down. It's really hard. We do the same thing the children of Israel do. We walk out. We walk out. They left Pharaoh's dominion by walking out. And the same thing happens in our life. We walk out. We simply make a choice. I'm walking out. And every step I take towards God, I'm taking one step out of Egypt. Every step of obedience I walk toward God, the more I become closer to the Lord, one step out of Egypt. Are you following me here today? It happens one step at a time. And I'm going to say, God, I'm going to obey you. God, I'm going to fill myself up with your Holy Spirit. God, I'm walking in obedience to you. And every step I take out is one step out of Egypt and one step closer to the Lord. Romans 6:16, don't you realize that you become the slave to whatever you choose to obey? Simply put, huh? We're either a slave to the devil or a slave to Jesus. You can be a slave to sin, which leads you to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves of sin, but now you are wholeheartedly obey his teaching. We have it given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you have become slave to righteous living. Who are you a slave to today? Are you a slave to the authority of Satan in your life? Or are you saying, you know what, I'm going to become a slave to Jesus. I'm becoming a slave to God's authority in my life. Well, I don't believe in God, so I'm not a slave. No, it's one or the other. You can say what you want, but it's one or the other. Either you're under God's authority or you're under the devil's authority. There's no in between. We are in one way or the other. And every step of act of obedience is one step. As I walk to the Holy Spirit, I take a step to God. It's one step out of Egypt and a step toward God's authority in my life. I love it that Moses was called to God to do some great things here. And we see his life, you know, but think about it. I think the hardest thing Moses was asked to do was to go back and face Pharaoh. He had to go back and face his fears. He had to go back and face the one who was trying to kill him, the one who had a price out on his head, the one that was looking to kill him. He had to go back and face Pharaoh. He had to face his biggest fears. But other than that, all the other things God asked him to do really wasn't that hard. Think about it. God said, take your rod, Moses, drop it. All right, pick it back up. Take your rod, put it in the Nile. All right, take it out. Stretch out your rod over the sea. Stretch out your rod over the rock. Put your hand inside your cloak. Pull it out. I mean, these are not difficult things. These are not really hard things. They're just acts of obedience. And most of the things God asks us aren't hard. Sometimes he does ask us to do some difficult things. Sometimes he does ask us to take steps of faith that are really difficult. But most of the time, the things are really simple. We just got to learn to listen and do what he's asking us to do. And every act of obedience, a step toward God, is an act out of Egypt and saying, God, you're in full control of my life. Magicians are coming today. You know, Jesus defeated Satan at his weakest. Remember, when Jesus was at his weakest, been fasting for 40 days in the garden. He fasted 40 days in the garden. He hadn't had anything to eat. Satan attacks him. And at his weakest, Jesus defeated the devil. Three simple words. It is written. It is written. And he'd quote whatever it was. It is written. Listen, we've been given the spiritual authority over the devil. We've been given spiritual authority. We have been called to have dominion over anything over this earth. We're called to walk in dominion. But you got to learn to walk in that dominion and walk in that authority and walk in the power. We've been given it. Simply do this. When Satan's attacking you, use that spiritual authority. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. We overcome by the word of our testimony and by the power of the blood of the Lamb. Satan, the blood of Jesus is. Satan hates it when you bring up the blood. I guarantee you, Satan hates it more than anything when you bring up the blood. Because the blood, it never loses its power. The blood is what brings the power. See, the blood is what restored the authority. The blood is what restored the power. He hates that because he's lost it. And he can't get it back. And you and I can have it by grace. You and I can receive it by being filled with the Spirit. Feel it. You know, used to, you kind of had to memorize scripture, and that's a good thing. I encourage you, memorize scripture. But man, we've been given things and our tools in our hands, on our phones. It's called Google. You're going through something in your life, you're fighting depression, Google, what's some scriptures to help me fight depression? And boom, you'll have 30, 40 scriptures right in your hands. Just like that. Take that, read it out over my house. God, I declare your word says this. I'm not going to walk in fear. I'm not going to walk depressed. But God, I'm declaring over my mind the scripture. Satan, the word of God says this. You're struggling with an addiction? Boom, Google it. Bring up that scripture and say, all right, I'm going to read this scripture over my house, over my mind, over my car, over my family. Read it. Pull it out. Take advantage. Use the written word of God. Quote it out. Say it out loud. Over your life, over your mind, over your marriage, over your family, over your children. Say it out loud. Walk in the spiritual authority today. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. If you're here today, maybe you want to join the people who raised their hands this morning already in the first service, said several, and we want to give you a chance as well today. If you're here and say, Pastor, I've never asked Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life. I never asked him to be Lord of my life, and today I want to do that. We won't do anything to point you out or to embarrass you at all, but we want to give you a chance to respond today. To say, I'm ready. I've never prayed the prayer, and today I'm ready to give my life in full surrender to Jesus. Make him Lord of my life. If you want to do that, just raise your hand where you can see it. No one's looking but me. Let me see it. Raise your hand right now. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else want to join us? Thank you. I want you to put your hands down if you got them raised. I'm going to ask you one more time. If you didn't raise it, you know you should have. I want to make sure you have that chance today. If you say, I'm ready to surrender my life to Jesus, just raise it right now. Raise it right now. I can see it. Thank you. Anybody else want to join them? Thank you. I see that. Thank you. This is what's going to happen. We're going to say a prayer out loud together. Those of you who raise your hands, I want you to say this prayer out loud. And as Christians sitting around you, we're going to say it with you to help you along. Say, dear Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I'll give you all of my sin. I give you all of my life. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only Son. From this day forward, I will follow after you. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say welcome to the family of God. Come on, give me a hand. Yeah, excited today for you. Well, listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time today, we want you to stop by our welcome center when you leave. We got a free Bible for you. Inside there, it's got some next steps, things you need to do. This is just the beginning of a journey. You need to be plugged into a church home. If you have one, go back and tell your pastor or one of your leaders, hey, man, I gave my life to Jesus today. If you don't have one, we'd love to have you here. Get plugged in with people who can help you, support you on your journey to follow after Christ. How many today, as you stand on your feet, how many today say, Pastor, I'm ready to walk in spiritual authority. I'm ready to walk in my authority and power the Holy Spirit's got for me. Yeah. If you want to respond to this message today, I'm going to give you a chance to jump up to the front with us as we close the song. Step out in faith. Say, I want to step out of my spiritual authority. I want to step out and walk in a new anointing in my life. And say, God, I want to walk in the authority and anointing you have in my life. I'm ready to take my faith to a new level. We're going to close this song. Let's make it the prayer of our heart. Come on, Jim. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord. We raise our hands before you as a sign of surrender, God. We're saying, Holy Spirit, fill us fresh and new. But I pray today that, God, we would be constantly filling ourselves with the Holy Spirit. God, we allow your Holy Spirit to fill us, not just a one-time experience, but we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us daily, that we get up and surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit daily, that we can walk in the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life completely. God, I thank you, God, you're taking people to a new authority to walk in. You're calling us to walk to a new power, that our faith level is being raised today, God. We are rising to a new level. And God, I thank you today, God, for people who are stepping out in faith and saying, yes, God, yes, yes, I want to walk in that authority. I want to walk in that freedom. I want to walk in that power that comes through the Holy Spirit. And I declare it over this room today, every believer, Father, may you let us walk in that new authority, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you receive that word, put your hands together. God, I receive that. God bless you guys. Walk out. Remember, every step of obedience is one step out of Egypt, right? God bless you. Turn to get someone a high five and say, man, it was good to be with you today. God bless you.